right, everybody. It is the Brian Show tonight, September 17, 2013. Figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. No Vinny tonight. You might have noticed he was not here on Sunday either. Unfortunately, Vinny had a death in the family, and so he's going to be taking a little bit of time off. He'll be back on Thursday, but he is at home right now. He's helping his family out, and obviously, if you've got Vinny's email, it might be nice to drop him a line and wish him the best. He's doing all right. Saw him, in fact, Sunday night at bowling, of all places. Maybe it was Saturday night. But he'll be back on Thursday, but if you have a chance, you might want to send him some well wishes. Maybe he'll talk about it Thursday, maybe not, but that's the story. I know that whenever Vinny is not on, there's a lot of concern that, I don't know, Vinny's been fired. People think all sorts of things, but Vinny is fine, but he is dealing with a situation, and so that's why he's not here tonight, and obviously the best wishes to good old Vinny as he handles the situation. So that's the story tonight, and in lieu of that, we're going to be taking phone calls and emails here on the show. I'm just going to be going solo. Basically, anything on your mind. 100% open lines. You can talk about anything you want. Pro wrestling, mixed martial arts, or whatever. And we're going to be taking some emails and Twitter questions as well. Should be a fun time. So let's kick it off with the first caller. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Steven in Sacramento. What's up, Brian?
What's happening, Steven?
You get all the pressure on me to be the first caller of the night. I can't believe it. Thank you for taking my call.
You are the first. What's going on?
Nothing much. I heard one of those nasty rumors out there that TNA has another contract coming up at the beginning of October with the Hulkster Hulk Hogan. I was wondering if you knew anything about that, if there's any way in the world he can find his way back in with Vince McMahon and the WWE.
Well, that's the story. His contract is coming due, and I don't know what his future is. Obviously, he's not cheap. And TNA is in major cost-cutting mode. And if you recall, when they brought him in, the whole idea was Hulk Hogan comes in, he's going to be a game changer. Same with Eric Bischoff. And here we are in September of 2013. They have not been game changers. In fact, they have been game changers, but not in a good way. They obviously talked Dixie into going against Raw on Monday nights, which was a complete failure. They talked her into taking the show on the road, which was a complete failure. Already talking about going back to some permanent location somewhere. God even knows where. I don't even know if they can go back to the Impact Zone because the former Impact Zone is pretty much no more, from what I understand. So, I don't know. I don't know if they still see value in Hulk Hogan. I don't know if they're going to ask him to take a pay cut. I don't know what the story is. I know that, obviously, probably at some point, he's going to be back with WWE. I don't think he's ever going to wrestle again. But it's, to me, the same thing as we talked about when talking about the release of Jim Ross, the retirement of Jim Ross. If this network gets going, they need some faces of the network. They need guys like Jim Ross, and they need guys like Hulk Hogan, and even guys like Mean Gene Okerlund. They're not really doing anything in WWE, but would be good as historical voices for some of these clips and these shows. And obviously, Hogan is a guy that's going to go around and do publicity for WWE. I mean, there is a role for Hogan, not as a top guy or a wrestler, obviously. But at some point, he's going back. I don't know if it's going to be in August is the long answer to that question. But we'll see.
Do you think that Bischoff, do you think if there's no Hogan, that is a possibility that Bischoff will stay, that there's something for him there? Or do you think when no Hogan, Bischoff just fails?
I think if as long as Bischoff's being paid decent money, I think he'll stick around. Unless, like, WWE offers him a better deal. But for the kind of stuff that he's doing there, if he's still able to do his other projects, I mean, if they're willing to pay him, I don't know. I mean, he's been attached to the hip for Hogan with Hogan for so long, but if WWE like offers Hogan a deal in October and they don't offer Bischoff a deal, I don't know. Maybe he'll stick around. I don't know what other projects Bischoff has. I don't know what his finances are like. I mean, they should be good, but you never know. I don't know. I can see him sticking around if they offer him a good deal. I mean, it's not interfering with the other stuff he's doing, the other projects he's got.
I thought it seemed really weird when Brooke got, you know, fired, released, whatever you want to say, out of the middle of nowhere. If Hogan had any, like, you know, real power there, he's going to make sure Brooke gets a paycheck. It's not like she's going to be doing anything else to make any money the rest of her career. That was one of the checks that she had coming in that she should have made sure was coming for a long time from Dixie Carter.
Well, you can make of this what you will, because this is Hulk Hogan we're talking about here. But Hogan, in an interview a while back, essentially claimed that she decided that she wanted out. That was the impression that he gave. I don't know if that's what happened, but that's certainly what he indicated. So it's possible she just was done with TNA. And but you would think that if that were the case and she wasn't cut, she would have at least stayed to, you know, finish out a storyline or wrap it up somehow, which she didn't do. She was just gone one day. So I don't know what happened, but Hogan seems to claim that it was her decision to leave.
That's good stuff. Thank you very much, Brian. Enjoy your show.
Thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Obviously, as mentioned here tonight, we're doing Twitter questions as well, and got a ton of those. So here we go. Will Dragon Gate be able to present Trina Michaels at WrestleMania weekend next year since she has fake boobies? That's a good question. I don't know. I think this is in reference to Athletic Commission's... Actually, is it the same Athletic Commission? Is it Louisiana? I think it may be. I'll have to check this. Obviously, that would be why the question was asked. Let's see. Louisiana. Breast implants. This is going to take a while for me to Google this, everybody. Let's hold that thought. Let me take this call as I try to figure out what commission this is. You are on... Figure Four Daily, Brian and Vinny's show, Wrestling Observer, whatever it is here tonight. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian, this is Derek from New York.
What's going on?
Nothing much. I was just wondering if you could actually book WrestleMania 30 right now, barring any injuries that could happen, what would your main event be?
If I were going to book it?
Yeah, if Vince McMahon just decided to get rid of all the writers and put you in charge.
it's a good question. We're a long ways out. I would do probably a Steve Austin CM Punk match if Steve Austin were willing to come back. I know if Austin does one more match, I know the match they want is Austin versus Triple H, and I know they trust each other, but I think that as far as like promos battling back and forth, I would do Steve Austin and CM Punk. I would do Undertaker and John Cena. I think that one of the best things about WrestleMania every year is this Undertaker battle where some guy comes up, tries everything in his power to unseat the Undertaker, and Undertaker is victorious in the end. I think that it takes John Cena out of like the main event title picture. It is a big match that I think people would take seriously. I don't know if you would convince people that John Cena is going to break the Undertaker streak, but I think you could at least put doubt in people's minds because it's John Cena. I think they'd have a hell of a match. I think the reaction from the fans to that match would be phenomenal because obviously they're going to hate John Cena with a passion. They're going to love the Undertaker, and it would just be a great dynamic. So I would do that match. Daniel Bryan, it's really hard because so much can change in such a short period of time. I think that at least at this point, if Daniel Bryan stays as hot as he is, I think that you could do a Daniel Bryan championship match in the main event. I don't know who it would be with. You kind of have to look at the lay of the land as you get closer to WrestleMania. I'm big into, to me, you should have a match, one match, a year out that you're building to. And that match, I guess in this case, would maybe be CM Punk and Steve Austin if all of the planets aligned. But beyond your one big match, I don't see a problem with waiting a while and seeing who's hot, who's not, who's getting over, who maybe isn't as over as they were. So to me, this far out, I would be trying to put together Undertaker and Cena and Steve Austin and CM Punk. And then around Royal Rumble time, you check the lay of the land. Is Daniel Bryan still super over? Where's Randy Orton at? Where's Sheamus at? Where's anybody? And from that point, you make a determination about what you're going to do for the rest of the card.
Yeah, I can definitely see where you're coming from. It's interesting because there's also Lesnar and Triple H. You have to fit in so many guys now because, you know, Brian's gotten so hot that now there's so many possibilities of what they can do. But those are some pretty interesting answers. I would love to see Steve Austin back, but I don't think it would ever happen.
I think Daniel Bryan could have a hell of a match with Brock Lesnar, but I don't know
that,
if I would.
That would be awesome.
I just don't know if Daniel Bryan is like, if Daniel Bryan is super over, I don't know about the idea of just building to a one-off with Brock Lesnar, like for the title. I think that, I mean, maybe you could do it, but I would, if there were a guy that were in the position to be the champion that managed to be hotter than Daniel Bryan and you didn't have like a big-time championship match for Daniel Bryan, then I would do Brock Lesnar. But I don't know if I would do Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar for the title, because you with the number of dates that Brock has, you really can't do like a program. You know what I mean? You can't do like having him show up on a bunch of TV, having him do a match at Mania, having him do the rematch at Extreme Rules, maybe doing one more afterwards. I just don't think you've got the. To me, Brock is best served at SummerSlam, WrestleMania, and maybe Royal Rumble, the big shows. And using him on the secondary shows to do a three-match program with Daniel Bryan for the title, I don't know if I'd do that.
Well, maybe what you can do is that Bryan could be the champion. I don't know when like he'll win it back until Mania, and you could have Lesnar win the Rumble and then just stay silent until like after Elimination Chamber or something, and then that could set it up. But
you could do it.
I think a match between those two would be awesome.
You could do it. I want to thank you very much for the call. Fantasy booking is not my forte, but I do a little bit of it if I have to. So yeah, it is Louisiana that is talking about banning female boxers and MMA fighters from competing in the sport in Louisiana if they have breast implants. And I know that there's actually a lot to this story. I think in wrestling as well, if you've got breast implants, you're not supposed to be able to compete. But I think that the WWE has already I don't know if they've got the wrestling aspect removed from it, or they've already talked to the commission in Louisiana. But the girls with breast implants are going to work at WrestleMania. I guarantee that. I absolutely guarantee that. And as far as indie events, I would guess if you've got implants, you'll be able to work over WrestleMania weekend, and if not, you can be a valet. But I wouldn't read too much into this. It's one of those rules that I don't even think that if it passes, I'm actually not even up on it as far as to if this is even passed. I think it's something there. Let's see here. WBAN has learned this week that the Louisiana State Athletic Commission has had an emergency meeting banning female boxers and MMA fighters from competing in the sport in Louisiana in a sky is falling approach to women in contact sports if the female competitor in boxing or MMA has a breast implant. Women who have breast implants are prohibited from competing in mixed martial arts or boxing matches in the state. Passed a rule Wednesday stating that women will need to get clearance from the plastic surgeons who performed their implants, or they would not be allowed to fight. That's what it was. So as long as the girls can get a note from the doctor saying it's okay for them to compete, they will be able to do so. And also there is a moratorium for 60 days as more information is gathered on the subject. So I would not read too much into this story, certainly in terms of pro wrestling. And it's doubtful it will make a big impact on mixed martial arts either, because I'm sure at the end of the day, if UFC really had a problem with this, I don't even know what percentage of their female fighters have implants, if any. But I'm sure that if someone needed to fight in Louisiana, they would fight in Louisiana. All right, back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? You are on the air. Who is this? Going once.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, finally got through. I don't know what happened there. But Brian, this is Marco from Las Vegas.
Marco, what's happening?
Forgive me if somebody already called or somebody already mentioned this or asked this before, but my question for you is, where do you see the future of live impacts?
I see them ending. I I don't know this for certain, but I would guess that when they make their new home, wherever that might be, whether it's Las Vegas, which I think is probably doubtful, or
I hope it would be
somewhere in Orlando. And Las Vegas, by the way, they have run shows in Vegas that have not done well. So,
first live impact.
But those were, as far as I recall, those were paid attendance shows. We're talking if they moved to Vegas, they would be doing shows with free attendance, just like they were doing at the Impact Zone. So it wouldn't even be a matter of are they drawing well or not. It's can we find a building that seats 1,000 and can we get 1,000 in there every other week or whatever the taping schedule ends up being. My guess would be that when they go to wherever their new permanent home might be, that they will be taping 2 to 4 weeks of programming and then airing that on Spike TV. In fact, the shows now aren't even live. I think everybody is aware of that. But the supposed live impacts are actually taped about an hour and a half, 2 hours earlier, and then put on the air. So nothing is actually live right now outside of their the four pay-per-views they do every year. So, I mean, I don't know. If live versus tape made any difference, it would be something to consider, but it doesn't make any difference. Going on the road hasn't made any difference, at least in a positive manner. It's all been negative. And like I talked about last night, I mean, you should have known when you did X number of live impacts that, yeah, you got a better reaction from the fans, but, I mean, what did it do for business? It did nothing for business. And they should have known by the number of times that they tried it that they were taking a big financial risk. And I think that they've learned their lesson now, and I don't expect them to be going live unless Spike is going to kick in all the costs, which they're not going to do.
It was costing like, what, $500,000 per live impact?
$600,000.
$600,000?
And they ain't making $600,000 per show.
Oh, my God. Well, I guess my next question, not as serious, and maybe you saw it on Twitter, but nobody's been able to answer this for me. Like, what the hell is a sliced bread number one?
Slice bread number one?
Yeah, slice bread number two, everybody knows that's Spanky's move, or I've seen Alex Shelley do it. What's the slice bread number one?
It's sliced bread.
Is it the same thing?
No, it's the old saying, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Sliced bread, the actual food, sliced bread is the greatest thing ever. That's number one. Sliced bread is number one. That's the greatest thing. So sliced bread number two is the second greatest thing.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. And do you have an update on ever getting Vampiro on the After Dark?
I suppose it's possible. I haven't even reached out. It's usually very late in the evening. Maybe he's a night owl. Maybe I could get him on. I haven't heard from Vampiro in years. So maybe I'll do a follow-up, see what he's doing, and get him on to talk some weirdness. But email me a reminder, and I'll try and get a hold of Vampiro.
All right, but thanks for answering my questions.
Yep, no problem. Thanks for calling in. That's right, greatest thing since sliced bread. That's why sliced bread is number one. It's the greatest thing. Sliced bread number two is the second greatest thing in the world. What do you have here on the Twitter machine? What are your thoughts on the current storyline with Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton and Triple H? Well, I think that Randy Orton is an awesome heel champion, or he was. I think that Triple H is an awesome evil overlord. I think that Daniel Bryan is an awesome babyface. But I think they're making a mistake by repeatedly taking the title off of Daniel Bryan. I think that doing it once is one thing. Fool me once. Once you've done it twice, then it's kind of like, all right. After the second time, to me, it's sort of like, I don't know. When you do it a third time, are people going to react to it? Because they've already had this happen twice, and he's had the title taken off of him. So I just feel that they should have done what they did at SummerSlam. They should have found some sort of finish where he didn't win the title at Night of Champions, found another finish where, in fact, here's a little scoop. There are discussions that the Battleground pay-per-view may be Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton in an Iron Man match. So to me, you could have done some sort of screw job finish at Night of Champions that didn't involve a title change. keep the title on Randy Orton. You do a rematch at Battleground, which goes to a draw. And then you you do the final match at Hell in a Cell, and Daniel Bryan wins the title. And actually, there should have been... What they came up with at Night of Champions was great in the sense that, as I've noted, I didn't like the idea that Hunter doesn't want Daniel Bryan as champion, but he's just going to give him a rematch from SummerSlam. To me, that made no sense. And people brought up, well, you know, legally, he has a right to an automatic rematch, this and that. Okay, fine. So, all right, he's getting his rematch at Night of Champions. But if you're going to continue the feud, you really can't beat him at Night of Champions in a traditional way and then grant him another title match. It makes no sense. So I liked what they came up with in the sense that you got the title off of Randy Orton, but now there is no champion, and they found a way to continue the feud. They still have to find a way to get a rematch going that makes sense, and they kind of did by the way that the referee did whatever. I mean, I guess technically you could say that Daniel Bryan doesn't deserve a rematch if Triple H thought that he bought off a referee. So how they get around that and give him another rematch is your guess is as good as mine. I hope it makes sense. But an Iron Man match would be a great way, because you could do a tie, obviously, to get one more match out of this series, which to me would take place at Hell in a Cell. But moral of the story, long story short, I just don't feel that it was a good idea to give him the title, take it off him, give him the title, take it off him. Because now the next time you give him the title, I don't know if it's going to get that great a reaction, because the fans are just going to be thinking that you're going to take the title off of him again. And I don't think that's what you want in the big, final, triumphant title change Daniel Bryan is going to have at the end of this feud, I presume. All right, back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Antonio Lopez from Colorado Springs.
Antonio, what's up?
Not much. How's everything going?
It's going great.
Good, good. Are we on a specific topic?
Open line, so whatever you want.
All right. I guess the state of Raw right now is actually pretty pathetic. This is the last show got me going away, like, very angry with it. And then...
Anger?
Yeah. Oh, you have no idea.
I do have no idea. Explain this anger to me.
Well, it's just... Okay, let me go ahead and start from... I think it was the September 2nd show. That show sucked. It was just horrible. I just had no love for it. I mean, it just converged everything that was wrong with the show right there. Partly because storyline shouldn't be built around crying giants. And Randy Orton's basically in the Alberto Del Rio position with being the lackey to Triple H right now. And it's infuriating. God, I was mad.
Vinny was very angry as well. Not a fan of crying giants.
No, it's like, here's a guy that's spent his whole career, oh, I love knocking people out, I love dominating, I'm the giant, I'm going to go ahead and break it. And then out of thin air, he has a couple of bad investments, and then now he's just this crying man that he hates Daniel Bryan, his on-again, off-again rival. It was just, I was so mad. And then the Cody Rhodes thing about, I know he's actually getting married, but that's still kind of pulled out of nowhere and was... And then the Shield being Triple H's lackeys right now. I know I'm coming off as a mark, but where did that come from? Out of thin air, these anti-establishment, like, oh, man, swear to God. And then Fandango getting killed. That pissed me off. That just nail in the coffin right there.
After all that, Fandango getting killed?
Yeah, and he's getting killed over and over again. I just read the spoiler SmackDown. He's beaten by Kofi Kingston, of all people, which... I don't know. I wasn't around when Coco Beware was, like, around, but I would say Kofi would just amount to what, you know, he is.
You know, it's funny. I just wanted to bring this up. I cannot confirm this, okay? I just want to throw that out there because I heard this from somebody, and it's so preposterous to me it's actually almost so wacky that I almost believe it, but I'm just going to say right now that I only heard this from one person, so I cannot confirm it, but I was told that the reason that Kofi has kind of just been floundering since he came back is because Vince McMahon hates his long tights. Now, the reason I find this a little hard to believe is that wouldn't Vince just say, hey, take the stupid tights off and put those trunks back on, right? Am I wrong?
Basically.
I mean, why would he just rant about this backstage that I hate these goddamn tights? Why wouldn't he say no more tights? But that was a story that I was given, that Vince hates Kofi's long tights.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I swear left hand on the death of WCW. I don't really care. But if I was to be in that position, I would say the short tights are better. But it's not really like a thing where you have to be so upset about it. I don't really like Kofi to begin with. I guess he's the closest thing to they have to a striker. I mean, most of his offense is just like punches and kicks. He's
sure and kicks. Jumping, a lot of jumping.
Yeah, and then he's useless once he jumps. Like I guess it's a 50-50 shot from what I don't know. That's what I see anyway. So, and then Rob Van Dam. Why is Ricardo Rodriguez? Where could they possibly go with that storyline? I mean, I know Ricardo Rodriguez is like, oh, I was with Alberto Del Rio, and now I'm with the guy.
I figure that Ricardo ends up back with Alberto.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess that would make sense. I mean,
it is the only thing that makes sense is if they end up back together.
Well, they could always put Swagger with those two and then create a new tag team. You know, just throwing that out.
I guess. But,
it's just like, if you get excited, like Goldust came back on the September 9th show, I think. Once you get excited about someone from the mid-card in the 90s, I guess, you know, for nostalgia's sake, it's awesome. But when I heard about that, I was so excited. I was like, oh my God, here's something new. You know, we're not going to see Sheamus versus, let's just say, Dolph Ziggler. Just off the top of my head, I know he's out. But still, here's we're going to see Goldust versus Randy Orton. I was excited. I was watching that show, and that was actually not a bad show.
It's a good match.
It was a decent match. You know, expected outcome and everything, which, you know, I figured they'd have to do that. But it just tells you right there. There was a time where D'Lo Brown, I think it was in, like, 2008 or 2009 return, I was like, oh, I want to go ahead and see this because I started watching in 2005. There's a new guy coming in. You know, let's just see that. And I think what's really missing from wrestling as a whole these days is wanting to see what's currently out there. You know, Shield, God, I loved them when they first came out, but are they really need to see now? Not really.
Well,
there's nothing that really stands out except for Daniel Bryan.
I want to say this. I want to thank you very much for the call. You're likely to see more Goldust and Dustin. I guess whatever he's going by, more of him in the future. I don't know if they're actually going to do like a, I've heard a lot of different rumors about a lot of different matches. I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm pretty sure you're going to see more Dustin and you're going to see more Cody, obviously, and probably some more Dusty as well. Although, given the fact that they punched out Dusty and had Big Show lower him to the ground as opposed to him even taking a bump, I don't think you're going to see Dusty in the ring, but you never know. You never know. All right. Back to the Twitter questions here. Who played Billionaire Ted in the Wrestling War Room skits? I cannot for the life of me remember. I don't think it was anybody. Man, who did play Billionaire Ted? I should know this, actually. I don't recall. This is a question for Wrestling Observer Radio. I do not recall who played that role. Let's see. Am I the only one who thinks that Punk Star has fallen immensely over the last few months? Paul is great, but the story is lame. I actually think the story is great. I love this story. Maybe I'm the only one. But obviously Punk Star has fallen, at least to the degree that for a while he was the WWE champion for 434 days. So, I mean, to that degree, the star has fallen, but they still, I mean, he's still like one of their top 3-4 guys. They rely on him to carry house shows. They rely on him. One thing you can always tell is they take a guy seriously when they do the gimmick where a bunch of geeks come out and they don't let that guy go out with them. If you recall, whenever like the locker room hits the ring for anything like that, you never see Punk out there. They always kind of protect him. I think the Punk Paul stuff is great. And Paul's kiss to the Ryback, I thought was just like, he's so great. Paul, Punk, they're all awesome. So I think that this whole thing has been fabulous. But then again, maybe I'm the only one. This person here says, Sitting here watching old school Raw, do you think the 96 Raw would be popular with today's WWE Universe? 96? I'd have to look back at... 97, 98, 99, 2000, 2001 obviously would be. I'd have to see what was going on in January 96. I mean, if you're talking about, like, would early 90s Raw be popular today? Probably not at all, actually. Trying to think right around the time. It's probably about June 96. Was it King of the Ring 96? I think it was that Austin did the 316 deal. Yes, it was. June 96 was when Austin did it. I remember because the back issue of The Observer just went up a couple of weeks ago covering that. And at the time, you've never seen a more downplayed historical incident than Dave's report of Steve Austin's promo on Jake Roberts at King of the Ring 96. So go back and read that one if you want. It's awesome. But January 96, I don't know. Maybe to a degree, but I think that there's a lot of, when you grew up during that period, you have very fond memories. Some of them misplaced, quite frankly. I mean, would it really make a difference if that goddamn Winged Eagle belt was brought out on Raw today? Of course not. But I think it would be cool because that's what I thought was the best belt of all time. But would it make a difference? No. Would the WWE audience today get into the guys from early 1996? Some of them. Some of them they'd get into super big. Some of them they wouldn't get into at all. But yeah, it's hard to say from that particular period. Should a WWE welcome Mickie James back? Yes, absolutely. Mickie James, her new character in TNA, I think she's been awesome. She's still a really good worker. I think that she could add something to the WWE women's division. I think that in some ways she'd be frustrated because the TNA women, you're seen by a far smaller audience. We talked about it a million times with Rob Van Dam. I mean, he used to walk around town and people would ask him why he wasn't wrestling anymore. And it was like, I'm on national TV every Thursday. It's called TNA. So from the perspective of how many people will be watching her every week, how big a star she would be, how much money she would make. I mean, obviously, it'd be much better to go back to WWE. But in terms of like what kind of a chance would she get to really do what she does best, probably a lot less than she gets in TNA. She'd probably have some pay-per-view matches here and there that they'd give her some time. But I think everybody knows what the role is of the women in WWE on television. It's not much. You go out there, you have a quick segment. In a lot of ways, as if you look at wrestling as like an art form and your art as a female, this is what you do. This is your art. You want to be the best and do your best. Then she's better off in TNA than WWE. If it's about the money, the level of stardom, living the life of a WWE superstar, then yeah, she should go back to WWE. All right, back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian. It's Superstar Nick in Seattle.
Superstar Nick, what's going on?
Supersonic. Yes.
I thought you just called yourself a superstar.
No, I'm not a superstar.
Well, what's up?
Well, my question is this. Every year, night after WrestleMania, something crazy always seems to happen in Raw with those crowds. Any chance Sami Zayn would be looking to debut in New Orleans the night after WrestleMania on Raw?
I hope to God Sami Zayn debuts next month after the pay-per-view. I don't want to wait until WrestleMania. That guy is, he to me is more ready than any person on that roster, the NXT regular roster, by leaps and bounds. And I think that...
Obviously, yeah. We all know he's a great worker. I just figure, Cajun territory, lots of French-speaking people there. Imagine if he cut a promo in French there.
I think it's more likely that the next time they're in Montreal for television, he'll debut. And I don't know when that's going to be. I don't know if they even announced another date for Montreal.
That'd be a huge moment.
Yeah, I mean, he got great reactions at the house shows when they had the house show run and they used him a couple of weekends ago. He didn't get like the biggest reaction, but he got a really big reaction, probably third or fourth biggest of the evening behind the big tippy top stars. And a lot of the people there seem to know who he was. So I think that I doubt we're going to wait till WrestleMania to see him debut.
Well, what you just mentioned is why I think New Orleans might be a great idea. Is you got the most passionate people from all over the world. Everyone's going crazy. So you're going to have a lot of the hardcore smart internet audience there. Imagine if he comes out. Remember 2 years ago in Miami, we have Yes, Yes, Yes breaking out. Imagine the Olay, Olay, Olay chance breaking out when he debuts in front of all those passionate hardcores.
Why not just give him a giant match, a pivotal match on that show 6 months after he's debuted?
That'd be great. You know, him and Cesaro, why not? They're familiar with each other.
Yeah, put the U.S. title on Cesaro or something like that. And the night after WrestleMania, Sami Zayn beats Cesaro for the U.S. title live on Raw.
Yeah, and you know, it sounds like a fit also with the racist gimmick that the real Americans are using.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd call it racist. It's just what it is. Xenophobic, sure. Yeah. It's a little better.
Well, you take it easy, man.
All right. Thanks very much for the call. Supersonic moved to Seattle. God knows why. It's raining like crazy. Thunder and lightning the other day. It's nuts. Do you wish you knew? Oh, what do you wish you knew when you started covering mixed martial arts and wrestling? What do you wish you knew when you started out covering MMA wrestling? What do I wish I knew? A lot more. I'll tell you that. If you ever find issue one of the figure four, man, that was an awful, a horrendous newsletter. I can't even like, I know that like some of Dave's newsletters that he wrote when he was like 13 are now available. I can't even bring myself to look at them because I just like, I'd quit. Because I guarantee they were a hell of a lot better than those early figure fours. I wish, I don't know. What do I wish when I first started? I don't really have a good answer. It all turned out pretty well. I wish that, I just wish that I had known more when I started out. I kind of started out and it really was like a trial by fire. It was not like I was a wrestling expert and I decided, hey, I'm a wrestling expert. Why don't I start a newsletter and get it going? I had a newsletter before it became what became Figure Four Weekly. It was a newsletter about our local promotion that I used to run, the Youth Wrestling Federation. And when the YWF folded, it was like, well, I got this newsletter. I got 33 subscribers, I think it was. So why not give this newsletter thing a shot? I think most people know the story. I had PWI Weekly, which was a 4-page newsletter. And I just remember I was a good writer at the time. I had gone to a community college, and the only classes I remember taking were karate and English. And I got an A in the English class. And it was like, well, I don't need to go to college anymore. I want to be a writer. I got an A in English. What the hell do I need this for? So I stopped going to community college, and I knew how to write, and I wanted to be a writer, and I liked wrestling, and I had these 33 subscribers. And so I said, hey, I'm going to start covering WWF and WCW and ECW, and if you want to read about it, then it's $39.95 a year, I think it was at the time. And X number of people, I don't even remember how, maybe it was 33 that actually paid. I think I had like a lot of people were getting the newsletter for free because somebody else was funding the newsletter. And I think what happened was when I offered to cover wrestling and if they wanted to read it, they could pay. I think 33 people paid $40. So it was like $1,200 or whatever. And I was like, man, I'm rich. You know, $1,200 a year, man, it's great. It's 19. So Then it just kind of like, it just went from there. But it was a lot of learning on the job from day one, let me tell you, because I was unprepared to write a wrestling newsletter in June of 1995. Some would say I'm unprepared today, but I was really unprepared then. So yeah, that's what I wish I knew. A lot more. All right, this person says, in their respective primes, who would win a shoot fight, Carl Gotch or a Squatch? That's a good question, man. Depends on the size of the Squatch. You know what I mean? If this were a 10-foot Squatch that weighed 500 pounds, I don't know if Carl Gotch was going to get his neck. If it were a Squatch the size of Carl Gotch, probably put a guillotine on that thing and put it to sleep pretty quick. So I can't really answer that question. Can you ask Dave on the next show what he and Conan did when they hung out a few days ago? I can only imagine. I can guarantee what they didn't do is smoke weed together. But my guess is they just watched a lot of wrestling. And Conan probably tried to get him to watch Breaking Bad. Would be my guess. Did Jim Ross record another Steve Austin show? You mentioned that on Sunday's show because he had two shows recorded already. Maybe he didn't record another one. I thought he recorded a new one right after he was he retired. So I don't actually know like how many he taped or whatever, but I know he taped one right after the supposed retirement. All right, back to the phone. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Paul. I'm calling from Boston.
Paul, what's happening?
Brian, you're skinny little freak. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good.
I have a quick question. Sorry to call your name.
All right.
At some point in your career, you're kind of probably at a crossroads. You know, you're doing the writing thing, the wrestling thing, the gymnastics thing. What was it particularly that made you think, all right, I want to do this wrestling journalism thing full time?
Day one, I wanted to do it full time, but I couldn't afford it. So I financed it basically by living at home for several years and coaching gymnastics. And that's what financed the newsletter. And it was around, I started doing IATA with Dave for free. And I did it for free for years. And I think it was right around 2001, where they said that they were going to pay me $200 a week. Which at the time I thought, Jesus Christ, I've made it. $200 a week to do this radio show? I'm the luckiest dude in the whole world. So
how did the
go ahead.
I'm sorry, how did the whole thing with Dave even come up though?
It came up because in 96, 97, I had a 900 line. And to make a very long story short, the 900 line ended up losing a lot of money. And I shut it down, and I'd never talked to Dave in my entire life. And I sent him a fax asking if I could do a segment on his hotline because I'd shut mine down. And he said, yes. And that's how we met. And so I did hotlines for him. And when he started IATA, he wanted somebody that would come on at the beginning of the show and run down the news with him. So I did that. And I did it for like 20 minutes. Like the first 20 minutes, I remember this because like, I think the IATA show started at 3 o'clock and my gymnastics class started at 4. So I did the show from 3 to 3:30, and then I jumped in the car and I went to teach gymnastics because I couldn't afford to not teach gymnastics at the time. So later, I moved my classes around so I could do the whole show. And then eventually, like I said, they offered to pay me $200 a week. So finally, I started getting paid, and like the newsletter was making a little bit of money, and I was making money doing gymnastics, and I was making money off the radio show. So I was like, that's it. I'm going to move out and get my own apartment. And so I didn't even tell my parents. I just one day drove, found an apartment complex, walked in, gave them some money, signed the papers, had the apartment, and then called my mom and said, hey, just wanted you to know I'm moving out. I just got an apartment. And her exact words were, oh, cool. So I moved out, and I swear to God, like a week later, IATA shut down. And that was the end of my $200 weekly checks. And I was like, oh, my God, that was paying for my rent. So at that point, I pretty much had to hustle my ass, and basically I ended up making enough to not move back in with my parents, and then I guess the rest is history.
Yeah, well, I guess the moral of the story here is you never know unless you ask, right?
Yes, and you know what the moral of the story is?
What?
The moral of the story is you have to have, like, a goal in your life. This is going to sound like I'm Tony Robbins
or
something.
Preach to me.
I'm going
to
preach. You got to have like a goal in your life, but you got to like be willing to work really hard for it. And I know that sounds stupid, but like I had to coach gymnastics for so many years during the Monday Night Wars. Like, I could have just felt entitled. Like, I got a newsletter. Like, I should be making a lot of money. I should be doing this. You know, I don't have to, you know, forget all that. Like, if you really want to do something, and the reason I bring this up is because I hear fighters all the time that complain that they have to have a real job. And it's like, you're not entitled to a fighting career where you make enough money to not have a job. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to fight and it doesn't pay the bills, then get a fucking job, right?
Like, exactly.
if you want your fighting career to pay the bills, then you got to work your ass off, and it may never pay the bills. But if you really want to do it, then you got to find a way to do it. And that may include having a real job teaching little kids gymnastics for a long time. And that's what I did. And there was no entitlement. I don't know what it was, but I never felt entitled to like making money off of this. It was like, if I make money off of this, great. I'm going to try really hard. But in the meantime, I got to hustle and I got to have a job and I got to be responsible and I got to do my best. And maybe in the end it'll pay off, which it did. But it certainly wasn't an easy road, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, some people don't understand that sometimes the simplest things to do are actually the hardest things to do, just to actually stick to whatever you want to actually do and to just keep doing it until you don't, you know, you can't do it anymore. And thank God Dave answers his faxes.
That's true. And I can't remember who said it, but the smartest thing I ever heard anybody say was, it takes 10 years to become an overnight success. And I'll never forget that.
Yep.
And I didn't start making any decent money doing this until the website started in 2005, which was, in fact, exactly 10 years to the day from when I started the newsletter. So it was kind of eye-opening when I realized that fact. But it's true. If you want to do something, there's no such thing as a person who becomes an overnight success. They worked their ass off for a long time before they became that overnight success.
And I love you guys for it, so keep up the great work, guys. Thank you.
I want to thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. And I actually put him on hold, and I don't even know how I did that. There we go. So, yeah, sorry to rant and philosophize, whatever the word is. Any thoughts on Sean Spears being rehired, and how awesome do you think he was in Ohio Valley with Cody? Was Sean Spears rehired? Or are you asking, could he be rehired? Let me go on Sean Spears' Twitter. Let's see here. He's talking about his first ice tub experience. Talking about his birthday. I don't know what this question is about. Sean Spears. Has he been rehired for NXT? Am I completely, like, out of my mind? I know this is Carlos the Dwarf, who's a big fan of... Oh, how about that? He has just re-signed. Man, scooped by Carlos the Dwarf. That's good. It's good that he's been re-signed. We'll see what happens. Sean Spears was good. I was never like the... I was never as big a fan as Carlos here of Sean Spears. But he was a good, solid hand. And we'll see what happens. Hopefully he does well. All right, back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian. This is Miguel from Rancho Cordova.
Miguel, what's up?
Hey, Brian. I have a couple questions. I'll get the easiest one out of the way first. Is there any word on Rey Mysterio? Is he coming back?
He'll be back. I don't know when. I haven't really heard an update. I would presume fairly soon. In fact, I think originally I heard September, but it's still September. I don't know. Really? It's Rey Mysterio, so.
Would that be a reason why Del Rio somehow is still world champion? Maybe they'll feud for the title?
I don't know if you'll see him in the title picture anytime soon.
All right. And my second question was just, I remember, I think it was the Brian and Vinny show from, not this Sunday, but the previous one. You mentioned that the plan as of now is to have Sandow lose the Money in the Bank brief, or and unsuccessfully cash in the briefcase. My question to you is, why in the hell did he even win in the first place?
That's a good question that I don't have an answer for. Any of this, I mean, listen, whenever you hear about a plan, as you're well aware, it's kind of funny because they've been sticking to a lot of plans lately. I mean, plans do change, and it could have been a situation where at the time that he won it, he was going to be the champion, and then they came up with a great idea and decided that whatever they're going to do, he's not going to end up cashing it in successfully. Maybe the idea was they wanted it on somebody that could cash in and not win the title, because you want to have at least some doubt. You know, they did it once with John Cena where he cashed in and failed, but I don't think they've ever had anybody, in fact, I know they haven't, they've never had anybody do a surprise cash in and fail. So maybe they want to have one guy do it, so at least it's established that, okay, you're not guaranteed the title. It's likely, but you're not guaranteed. And maybe they have another idea. I don't know. And that could change. He may cash it in and become champion. But at the time we did that show, the idea was he was going to cash it in and not win the title.
Do you think there's a chance that someone will take it off of him?
Well, I know that they had discussed doing Cody and Sandow for the briefcase at SummerSlam, but that didn't end up happening. So that may also have been an idea they had at the time, which when he won it, they were going to do a match and Cody would win it from him. And they may still do that down the road. I don't know. But again, you know, they come up with all sorts of ideas. Everybody comes up with different things. They bat ideas around. And of late, they've been really good when they actually decide on what to do, sticking with it. But yeah. Until they decide what to do, there's always ideas being bandied about, and those can always change.
Well, I guess that's WWE for you. Well, thanks for taking my call, Brian.
Yep, thanks so much for the call. Really appreciate it. Give me your thoughts on New Japan. Do you think it's a hot promotion, and who are you a fan of besides Suzuki? Well, Suzuki's obviously number one. Tanahashi's awesome. Kazuchika Okada's awesome. A lot of those guys. I mean, Alex Shelley is awesome if you want an American guy. Prince Devitt is outstanding. I could probably list virtually the entire roster. I think it's still a hot promotion. I think that I can't decide if it's a bad idea for them to run all those pay-per-views or not. I don't... Let me just put it this way. Let's say New Japan runs six big pay-per-views a year. I'm going to buy all six. Now, let's say that they run six big pay-per-views and 12 minor pay-per-views. Okay? Because they're running 18 pay-per-views, I'm not going to buy all of them. But I don't think that's going to stop me from buying the six big ones. I think Dave's theory is that once you start skipping pay-per-views, you're going to skip the big ones too. And at least me, I'm not going to skip the big ones. I'm still going to watch the big ones. I'm just not going to watch the little ones. And I'm sure there are a lot of people that want to watch the little ones. And so, great, give them the option to do so. It's kind of like the ROH model versus the Dragon Gate USA model. ROH only puts their biggest shows on iPay-per-view. And yeah, to a degree, that makes those shows more special. It makes them bigger shows. Whereas Dragon Gate USA, they're running iPay-per-views all the time. And so they don't have like the big shows. But, you know, obviously it's a good business model for them because they continue to do that and they're making money off of it. So it just kind of, I don't know what the right answer is. I don't have any problem with New Japan running all the shows. I'm not going to watch all of them. I will watch the big ones. I think that, you know, I think during the G1 season, they were super hot. And I think they're going to be a promotion that they're super hot. This is going to sound stupid, but they're super hot at times where they're super hot, and they're not at times when they're not. And for example, I think that come Tokyo Dome time on January 4th, I think they're going to be hot. I think that tons of people from this website are going to get the Tokyo Dome show. I think everybody's going to be talking about it. But from now until then, it depends on the cards for the big shows. There are going to be cards that people get into and cards that they don't. And it may be hot if they hit on the right stuff, and it may not be hot. But I do think it's going to get hot again, just like, you know, WWE. I mean, they're going to be super hot around WrestleMania time. From Royal Rumble to WrestleMania, they're going to be super hot. Rest of the year, it's going to be hot and cold, depending on what they've got. And I think it's the same thing with New Japan. But I do believe that they are a hell of a lot hotter now than they've been for years, actually. And I think a lot of that is just because a lot more people are talking about it. A lot more people are getting access to it. The ability to watch the big shows live is a big deal, and I think that's really helped, at least in this country, at least on this website for sure, raise their stock quite a bit. Alrighty. Don't know if you were like me, but I had a giant smile on my face when I heard Art's first break bumper music. That is from Ben. I cannot tell you how awesome yesterday was with the return of Art Bell. What the hell can I say? You all know Art Bell's the best. And I swear to God, when I was younger, since I was talking about, the 2000s, late 90s, all that stuff, I had a newsletter, I coached gymnastics, everything I just told you guys. What I also did was I loved to get in my car and drive. And I would drive all over the place, nowhere in particular. I would just drive. And I would drive and I would listen to Art Bell. And I probably could have just sat at home. But to me, it was like, if I'm at home and I turn on the radio, I'm going to get distracted by a book or a TV show or whatever I'm doing. So I'm going to get in my car and drive. So the only thing I can concentrate on is Art's show. That's what I did. And I would drive all over the place. I would this was before like Google Maps. So, back then for you youngsters, we found out where everything was by driving everywhere or a map. So I would just drive all over Bothell. I know every single solitary street and side road in Bothell, Woodinville, the entire area. I know everything because I would just drive everywhere. I would drive places I'd never been. I'd try and figure out what connected to where, and I'd do it while listening to Art Bell. So anyway, last night at I had a lot of work to do yesterday because it was Monday, and I got as much work done as I could. And at 6:55, I jumped in my car. And for an hour, I drove all over the land and I listened to the return of Art Bell. And it was like the best. It was so awesome. So anyway, I'm as big a fan as anybody in the world. I was so excited. I listened to it. It was so great. It was like sometimes everybody is aware of this. Sometimes there's something you love and it goes away. And then later it comes back. And you're so excited for it to come back, and you've got such high hopes. A perfect example for those of you in my age group. I mean, remember how excited you were when, like, Star Wars Episode 1 was coming, and you were so excited, and then you went to the theater, and there was fucking Jar Jar Binks, and you were like, wow, I was so excited, and I waited so long, and I got this. Well, that was not what happened with Art Bell. Art was back on fire. As good as ever, maybe better than ever. And it was everything I had built it up to be. And I remember going online today and going to Art Gab, I think it's called, bellgab.com. It used to be coastgab.com, but they obviously changed the name. And reading everybody's, reading the thread on the show. And everybody was so happy and talking about it. And the 90s were back for these people. It was so great. So I cannot tell you how awesome yesterday was. And every night, if I can, I will now drive around for a while and listen to Art Bell. And it was awesome. All right. Let's see if we've got any more here. Rip Rogers says, Buddy Wayne is returning to the ring in Cloverdale, BC. Thoughts? I do have thoughts. Buddy is returning. We're going to get him on this show to promote it. I am... lending him my broken heart tights because, as he explained to me, at one point he put on a lot of weight. And by the way, Buddy now is lighter than he's ever been in all the times that I have known him. But he got rather hefty and he stretched the shit out of all of the tights that he had. And so I have one last pair of the broken heart tights that the two of us had made when we did the new Heartbreakers tag team, I believe we called it. And I'm going to bring him over and he's going to wrestle in those trunks in his big return to the ring. I don't know any of the details really, except that he's returning. So, we're going to have him on the show to talk about that here sometime soon. But, there you go. And that leads me to, this question here. Why does the Northwest have virtually no indie scene? Just too far away from everything? That is, in fact, the problem. And speaking of Rip Rogers, he always called this place the island. It's what it is. It's an island out in the middle of nowhere. There is actually a little bit of indie wrestling that's kind of starting back up again. A buddy of mine, Lenny is involved. We should actually have him on the show sometime to talk about it. But the biggest thing around here for a long time was just that, Tulalip Championship Wrestling. But they are no more. So, I mean, in the Seattle area, it's just not a lot of stuff. It's just nothing to do around here. We don't have a PWG that flies people in from all over the place, like in Southern California. So all of the stuff is on the East Coast and the Midwest, and that's a long ways away from Washington. I'll tell you that. Do you think Sting will realistically ever sign with WWE, and if so, when? Maybe soon. I don't know, but if he's gonna, he better do it soon. And a lot of people think it's no coincidence that they had polls for Hulk Hogan and Sting on Raw Monday. And obviously, you know, they didn't, you know, the voting is what the voting is. But to put even Sting and Hogan in there as options is pretty interesting. Percent chance that Austin wrestles at Mania 30. I would give it, 50%. They really, really want him. I think he knows if he's going to do it, it better be this year. But I don't know if he really wants to do it. Like, really deep down wants to do it. So we'll see. A few more here. Will there be a Brian and Vinny TV show like Total Divas? Very doubtful. Very doubtful. Will Zack Ryder ever be repackaged? Or is he going to be mired in mediocrity and get fired? I don't know if they're going to fire him. I mean, he's a good hand, gets good reactions. I don't think they see him as anything more than he is. I don't know if that's ever going to change. Based on history, doubtful. But you never know. You never know. Who has a better chance to go to WWE, Anderson or Mickey? Probably Mickey. There were a lot of guys, one of whom was world champion until this past Sunday, who were not fans of Mr. Anderson and buried him on the way out. So, and of course, I'm talking about Randy Orton. So Mickey, I think, has a significantly better chance of going back than Mr. Anderson. Favorite Art Bell guests? Oh, man. First one last night, Michio Kaku. Awesome. One of my favorite guests was, what the hell is his name? I actually want to email Art's producer and get him back on. I've only heard like three shows with him. He's the guy behind, I think it's Adventures Unlimited, and he wrote some books. What the hell is this guy's name? Is it Adventures Unlimited? Is that the, what the hell is his name? But he, maybe it's not Adventures Unlimited. God, now this is going to drive me crazy. It's going to drive me absolutely crazy. Hold on. I know how to find it. He's the guy, I know what to Google her now, Egyptian artifacts in Grand Canyon. This guy, what the hell's his name? He wrote a book on this. Legend of the Grand Canyon Egyptian artifacts. What the hell is the book? God damn, this is going to drive me crazy. It's going to drive me crazy. Mysteries book. He wrote a book that ancient in the Grand... David Hatcher Childress! I bet that infuriated everybody. It infuriated me. David Hatcher Childress is one of my favorite guests of all time on Coast to Coast. And I would die to have him back on the show. So I'm actually going to email the producers at Art's show. You can actually go to artbell.com and send guest requests. So everybody send David Hatcher Childress to guest on Art Bell's new show. He is the best. I love those shows. And I plan to take a trip down to the Southwest and do some investigations at some point. Maybe we'll do some shows from the road as well. All right, we're going to wrap it up. I think that's most of these here. I may have missed a couple. If I did, I apologize. But we're going to wrap it up. I want to thank everybody for listening. As noted, if you've got Vinny's email, drop him a line. Wish him the best. We obviously wish him the best here with his him and his family on the pass. He'll let him talk about that if he wants, so I probably shouldn't talk too much about it. But best wishes to him, and he'll be back on Thursday. And, of course, thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more. Lance Storm going to be on the show. New Wrestling Observer Radio should be a fun time. So that is it from here, everybody. Thanks for calling, tweeting, and such. We shall talk to you again after a while.